Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email those stories to us. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com is the email address to send them to. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am I'm doing well. I've been surfing the internets.
Okay.
I got on my Speedo, and I've been surfing the internets.
Right.
Literally, I sit at my desk in a Speedo.
No.
Going all over the internets.
It's a little too chilly in your office to do that.
It would be kind of odd. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of awkward, but you got to do what you got to do. I've been surfing the internets, trying to find ideas and guests for a new program that I'm working on. It'll be a completely separate show from Real Ghost Stories Online.
Uh-huh.
What am I calling it?
The Grave Talks.
The Grave Talks. I had so many ideas for what I was going to call it, and then it was a matter of like what domain names were open.
Sure.
So, The Grave Talks, and this is it's an interview show all about ghosts. Mm-hmm. So very much relating to this show.
Yeah.
I've just been kind of going through stuff and finding folks that are look interesting, and it's going to be a fairly produced up show, almost to the level of kind of how your Christmas show was.
Okay.
But an interview type style, mm-hmm. if that makes sense to anyone, if you remember the one where Jenny wrote and that's kind of the effects and the music and all that. So really an interesting take on an interview show. It's not just it's silent and I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to answer a question and back and forth. It's a lot more dramatic than that.
Okay.
Really kind of puts you into the whole thing. I got one episode done so far, but I'm waiting to get a handful of them done before I officially launch it. And in the coming days, weeks, be listening and watching our Facebook page and social media and such, because it's a completely standalone show. So it will have its own Facebook page. I think I'll probably use the same YouTube channel because it relates, but it will have a lot of its own stuff.
Okay.
If you will. So, of course, you'll get some previews of it here on this channel, but it will be a show where you do have to subscribe to it over on its own feed, mm-hmm. on iTunes and all of that. But again, I'll have details on that in the coming days, and you'll be able to find where you can do all of that. I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be fun.
Yeah.
I had fun doing my first interview the other day with it and producing all that up. And there's a lot of interesting ones on the docket. So, I mean, once a week program initially, it should be fun. So there you go. Some interesting news there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. Just got done with work. Pretty long day. But I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, honestly. And it is probably the best podcast that I listen to. Excuse me. But I just wanted to tell you a quick story that happened to me. When I was probably about 18, I was a senior in high school. And I was in the one-act play. It was a theater group in my school. We'd go around competing. And if we were good enough, we could go to state. And we were good enough that year, we went to sectionals. And the sectional stage that we were performing on was supposedly haunted. And I kind of did some research on it before we went to the performance, to the stage. And apparently, there was a young girl who was in college at the time. This is 30, 40 years ago. And she hung herself on the stage in the theater. And when, so fast track, we're going to perform there. The play's going well. It's going great. And all of a sudden, a glass cup, because when I was performing, I had a desk. I was supposed to be recruiting kids for college, which is kind of ironic if you think about it. But, so I had all these cups, you know, like a desk would look like, who, you know, just any old desk. And this cup, it looked like that. It was a yellow cup, glass. It looked like that Walmart rollbacks smile that they used to have back in the day. And it was a cup like that. It was just sitting on my desk, and I was doing my lines. And all of a sudden, it flew across the desk, and it shattered into a million pieces. And I saw it happen out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, oh, geez, I can't break character, but that it scared the shit out of me. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I should have looked it up. I'm going to freak out the rest of the play. But after the play was over, I thought we were going to get deducted points for that. But nobody saw it. Nobody in the crowd saw it. I asked a bunch of people who were watching the play. And the judges, I'm like, did you see that happen? Like, I'm sorry that happened. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, a cup flew across my desk and it kind of shattered. And they're like, no, we didn't even notice that happening. I'm like, whoa, okay. But, yeah, that's just my quick story. Sorry if it was kind of awkward. I'm kind of nervous. It's my first time calling. But I'm going to become an EPP member eventually. I'm just planning my wedding right now, so my budget's kind of tight. But God bless you guys, and thanks for what you guys do and giving us this outlet to really talk to you guys. So thanks again, and have a good day. Bye.
First of all, I have to say, becoming an EPP is more important than your wedding.
That's not nice. That's not true. I understand. It's worth the wait, so go with the wedding. It's awesome.
Your wife would understand. If not, maybe it's time to reconsider things.
So, I'm just thinking about the ability and the concentration he had to be able to keep going in his part after that happened and nobody even noticed.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that.
No, me neither.
I mean, the fact that that happened and he was kind of aware of the haunting or the history, and yeah, I think that would be an immediate, I'm going to stop. Did everybody see that? Did anybody miss that? How did you not see that? You know, that's when I don't think I'd be like, oh, I got to stay in character. Kudos for him for doing that. But
that's awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Creepy stuff. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Sydney from Northern Ontario, Canada. This is my second story or second submission. My first one, you actually played, and I was so excited. I was squealing with joy. I was at work, too, at the time, so I ended up having to explain to everyone around me why I was squealing so loudly. So this is my second submission. I doubt you forget my story. I mean, I doubt you remember my story. I had several of them, so I was the one who... I was sleeping, and then I woke up with a sense of urgency, and I felt like I had to lock all my doors because I found out the next day that someone had escaped police custody. So That was me. That was my story. So today's story is actually about my mom and a family friend and my husband. So the first story is about my mom. So my mom was very close with her aunt. One day, my mom got a phone call saying that my aunt or her aunt had actually passed away. So it was very rare for me to see my mom cry, and this was one of those times. She was just totally heartbroken, and she was just so distraught. So we found out that my aunt actually had really bad heart problems, and we found out that that night the doctor had actually taken her off of all of her heart medication, and she died that night. So my mom was definitely distraught, and she said that she went to bed that night and she had a dream, and her aunt came to her in her dream. So she says that her aunt, she was talking to her, but her mouth wasn't moving, but she could hear her voice. And she was just saying, you know, I'm okay. I'm here. I love you. You need to move on. And I will always be here for you, and I will be always looking after you. And then she went away, and my mom woke up in tears. She just totally in tears, but she said that they were happy tears, and she just felt so relieved, and she said she felt like the weight of the world was just lifted off of her shoulders. So it was nice that my mom kind of got that closure that she really needed. And now the second story is about a family friend of ours. To keep his privacy, I'm just going to call him, I'll call him Bob. So Bob lived on a farm alone with just his four German shepherds. So he decided to go cut down some trees. And so he went into the bush. And by the way, just so you know, in Northern Ontario, we don't say forest, we say bush. So he went into the bush to cut down some trees. And I guess there was a pretty big branch that actually fell down and hit him in the head. And it cracked his skull open. So he was knocked unconscious. And he said that he woke up, and he wasn't in his body anymore. He was actually looking down at himself. So he looked at himself laying lifeless in the snow. And this happened during the winter. So he was in the snow just laying there completely lifeless. And then he watched someone walk up to him. And he heard this guy say, "Bob, you need to wake up. You need to go get help. Please get up. You have to get up and go get help now." And then he says that he was suddenly sucked back into his body, and he woke up in the snow and no one was around. So he managed to crawl back to the house, and he was pretty far away from the house. So he managed to crawl all the way back to the house and call 911, and they found him and they managed to save him. So we talked about it later, and he was saying that the guy that came to him and told him to get up was actually his dad, and his dad had been dead for a very, very long time. So I thought it was pretty cool that his dad was looking out for him, and he was just telling him, you know, you need to get up and you need to go get help, because your time is not done here on Earth. You still have some unfinished business here. So I thought that was a pretty cool story, and he's a lot better now. This happened a very long time ago, and he's definitely a lot safer now. So the third story is actually about my husband. So we bought a new house back in July. So this is our first home that we bought together. And at the time, he was actually working night shift. So I went off to work, and he was sleeping, and he said that he was kind of like in that state between being asleep and then, but still being kind of awake. So he was kind of semi-conscious, and he said that he heard someone walking up the stairs, and he heard every individual footstep. So he heard someone walk up the stairs, and then he watched this guy walk into our bedroom, and then he stopped beside the bed and just stared down at my husband. And my husband said that he was totally terrified. Now, my husband is not the kind of guy that believes in anything like this. He doesn't believe in spirits and ghosts. He doesn't really believe in the afterlife all that much. So for him to experience this and to actually tell me about it was just completely shocking. So he said that this guy just stared down at him, but he couldn't move. My husband said he couldn't move at all. So we figured out that he actually had a sleep paralysis episode, and it's the first time that it's ever happened, and so far it hasn't happened again. But he said that eventually he managed to kind of wake up, and his heart was just racing and he was sweating, and there was nothing there. There was no guy there. So it was just, he was kind of dreaming, and he had the sleep paralysis episode. And so, of course, he told me this when he started working night shift for the rest of the week. So I would get home and he would already be gone to work, and I had to sleep alone in a brand new house with that story in the back of my mind for the rest of the week. So that combination was not a good combination. I had a pretty sleepless week. But so I hope you enjoy my stories, and I hope you play them like you played the first ones. I love you guys, and I can't wait to hear more. Okay, thanks. Bye, guys.
I think all three of those were really good stories, but I really liked the one about the family friend who was knocked unconscious in the snow,
mm-hmm.
and how the dad came back to wake him up. I mean, otherwise he could have just stayed there and frozen to death.
That could have ended badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That, it makes me, it reminds me, and I don't know why this came back to me, but I remember when I was, in junior high, our junior high teacher, because it's cold up there in Wisconsin, some random day, he was an English teacher, and he was always kind of dark, but just randomly one day, like, he was upset at us for something, and he thought, he made the reference point of, you could end up, and it wasn't directed at me, it was directed at the class for not, I think, doing an assignment with a very good grade average, you could end up like so-and-so, who was in his class a couple years ago, fainted or something in the snow, like a couple blocks down the road, froze to death and died. And it was like, what the hell?
Did you ever hear of
that? It was
that?
Real. Yeah.
It was?
It was. But to bring that up in like such an odd...
And use it like a cautionary tale.
That has nothing to do with like, you'd missed the adverb underlining it in the sentence, or most of the class did. It's like, where does this connect?
Wow.
That's it stuck with me. The story stuck with me because it was like so out there and dark and not relatable for what was going on. But that's the only time I think I've ever been able to bring that up again, other than, hey, I had a crazy teacher. But the in the snow passing out, that's where my connection came in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's like seventh grade.
Just trying to scare you into doing your homework?
He kind of looked like Hitler.
Oh, you've talked about this guy before.
Not even kidding.
Yeah.
He had the little mustache. I don't know if he was... he was so strict and just a temper out of control. And, you know, just you could tell hated being a teacher and hated kids. So, of course, let's make that our life's career. It was... he was one of those.
Okay. Since I can't obviously grow a mustache, thank God.
Have you ever tried?
If you can grow a mustache and it only grows in like a Hitler mustache.
Well, that's shaved that way. It's not like
shaved that way. It's not like you can only grow a certain spot.
Well, I suppose if you have something wrong with your skin and it doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, you can. There's people who, I don't know what it's called, where it's like the hair kind of comes in uneven and whatnot. Uh-huh. That's usually when you're younger. But it can continue on when you're older. Some guys who just can't really grow a good beard or something like that, or a mustache. But I don't believe there's a, without being a very, like a burn victim or something, yeah, where like all that's left is the follicles in that area to make that sort of a mustache.
Okay.
But no, I mean, that's, you have to curate that yourself.
So it's not only a choice.
It was
of,
a choice.
Okay. Because my thought was, is this a choice of I can only grow a mustache in this shape,
no,
but I seriously want a mustache, so I'm going to look like Hitler by choice? No, it's I'm going to grow a mustache and then shave it to look like Hitler
choice. I already have a reputation for being very much like a dictator in my class, and most of the kids hate me. So why not just go all out and have the Hitler mustache?
I'm amazed that
We're like fatigues or something.
Was able to keep his job, honestly.
Oh, that's what tenure does.
Yeah.
It allows you to never get fired, no matter how horrible of a teacher you may be. Although I think that world is changing. But back in those days,
I think there's reason, though, to believe that your children may be endangered.
Yeah.
If that's your teacher.
It was a different place in time, it seemed, in the 90s.
I know.
It was before the world of super helicopter parents. I mean, there were certainly some that were like that, but I'd say maybe 5-10% were that. Whereas I think today your percentage is probably like 80, you know, percent. I mean, it's skyrocketed. So I think there was much more of an opportunity for teachers like that to exist and to get away with their behavior without any sort of repercussions.
Some stellar administration there.
Or constant being criticized or attacked, or, you know, there's no social media. It was just, you're relying on your kid to tell you what's going on. And I think a lot of that generation was like, respect your teachers regardless. It's like, yeah.
And you should respect your teachers.
You should.
But as a parent,
which is not regardless.
Would not want my child to be subjected to somebody who chooses to look like Hitler and yells at students.
I agree. I think there should be more respect of teachers, and there isn't these days. But there is such a level. It swung from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Where it went from like, they could pretty much get away with any damn thing, all the way over to,
now they can't discipline, and that's,
they can't say, please don't do that, because, you know.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and that's not right.
There's like no middle ground here.
Where common sense lies. We'll just skip over that.
It's all over the place. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Just calling from my commute home from work. I've been listening to your guys' podcast for several months now. And I usually listen when I'm in transit. I work as a consultant, so I drive a lot. And I can't stand traffic, so you're listening to your podcast helps me stay a little bit centered while I'm on the road and not get annoyed about traffic or what have you. But I've always been interested in the paranormal. I'm a sensitive in real life, I guess you could say. That's going to make sense in a second. But yeah, I've always had a pretty big interest in, sort of just like innately believed that there was more out there. Ever since I was a little kid, it's just, I don't know, it's just part of who I am. I've always believed that there's more out there. So anyway, I have sort of a few mini stories and just some thoughts to contribute. So in the house that I grew up in, we were there for about 18 years, starting from when I was 4 to when I was like 22. We had a spare bedroom that was on the main floor, and that bedroom always creeped me out. I don't know why. We had dark furniture in there, so maybe that made a difference, because it was a pretty small room, and with this dark furniture, just, I don't know, it always felt really dark in there, so I never knew if it was like my imagination or what. But growing up, I was always creeped out by that room. there's a bathroom that's down the, so the bedroom's down like a long hallway, and there's a bathroom that's down that hallway that's catacorner to the bedroom. And so many times when I was little and I had to like go to the bathroom, I'm just like on the main floor of my house, I would run down the hallway so that I could scoot past that bedroom really quickly and, you know, get right into the bathroom, especially at nighttime. It just used to creep me out. So one time, I think I was about 4 or 5, I remember because my grandma was over and she and my mom were in the kitchen at the other side of the hallway. And I was walking down to go use that bathroom, and I saw what looked like a white figure. It was like roughly in the shape of a person, but like almost in the shape of an angel. Like when, you know, when you see angels depicted, they have like a gown almost with like the long sleeves. So it was a silhouette that was white, and it looked like it had those like angel sleeves. There weren't wings or anything, but that's just kind of what this ghostly figure looked like. And it was kind of just like almost moving its arms as if it were underwater and like doing a little bit of a, I don't know, it was like undulating in a strange way. But I just turned back around, ran down the hallway, and went and told my mom and my grandma. And this whole memory is a little fuzzy for me because I was little. But they reminded me of it, like, oh yeah, remember when you said you saw that ghost in our house? So, it definitely happened. And I don't know, you know, if it was this is a chicken and egg situation where it was after I saw that I was creeped out by the room. But I think I was creeped out by the room before I saw anything. And I don't know, that bedroom always used to creep me out. I never wanted to go in there. It was never like a bad feeling, just creepy. And so our family room was right next to that bedroom, like it shared a wall. And my mom would always watch TV late at night and end up like falling asleep watching TV. And she'd be on the couch that's on that shared wall with the bedroom. And so the reason that I said earlier I'm like a sensitive sort of in real life is my whole family's Italian. They're very superstitious. All the women in my family have like these crazy dreams. They dream about deceased loved ones. They have these creepy dreams. My mom's always having dreams of just like, you know, her one friend who passed away years ago. But that's a story for another time. But so that's why I joke that I'm a sensitive in real life and they're a sensitive in their dreams, because I've never had creepy dreams like this. Well, that's false. I guess there was one time. But I'm perfectly fine with that. I would rather be a sensitive in like the waking hours than worry about having creepy dreams. So I really hope that I don't start becoming like the rest of the women in my family that way. But anyway, my mom, whenever she would fall asleep on that couch, I think this happened like 3 or 4 times. She would have a dream where this big black like presence would sort of be hovering over her as she's laying down on that couch, and she would get startled awake almost as if somebody shook her. And then the dream would feel completely real, even though she would wake up, you know, like she would wake up and feel like it actually happened, like there was something there that just like startled her awake, but there would be nothing there. And I feel like it would have come out from that bedroom. So I never felt creeped out by anywhere else in the house. My room never scared me growing up. I never felt unwelcome. We didn't really have any other, you know, incidents, but I think that whatever was in that room was really respectful to us. I don't think it was anything that was overly malicious, but I feel like maybe it just popped out at night just to get a look around and, you know, I guess ended up scaring my mom a few times. And so I don't know. I have a few theories, like since it's a main floor bedroom, and a lot of times like ailing relatives, if they're living like, because the house, people lived in the house before we lived there. So like if an ailing relative moves in or something like that, usually, you know, they end up on the main floor bedroom so that they don't have to worry about climbing the stairs. So my theory is that it's possible that somebody passed away in that bedroom, and maybe that's just their spirit there residually, and any kind of creepiness I felt is just like the stress of their death, you know, like somebody's not going to be too happy you know, being in the place that they died in. So that's why it has like that heavy feeling. But I feel like whoever was there wasn't out to get us or anything. So that was pretty crazy. And I've talked to my mom about it since then, because obviously, like, when I was little, she didn't tell me about the scary dreams she would have that a presence was hovering over her when she was near that room. But in some other experiences that I have had, so since I say I'm a sensitive in daily life, it's weird. I feel like my sensitive abilities are a little bit from like feelings, but I have this weird, like, I don't know if it's called claircognizance. It's like a clairvoyance, but I just like know things sometimes. Like, you just innately know things from your instinct that like you could not have known. And it's weird. It's just there, and I don't know how I've known it. So I mentioned my whole family, very Italian. So we would go to Italy periodically to visit family, and every time we'd go, you know, we'd go to the graveyard and pay our respects to our old relatives who have gone, you know, years before I even met them. And so we were walking through the cemetery one day. I think I was about 8 years old, and I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't really reading the headstones, but some of the graves, the ones that were sort of like on a wall outside, had little pictures. And as I was walking through, you know, my parents and I were just sort of meandering around, and there were a lot of interesting old headstones, and we saw the couple people that we came there to see. And I stopped at this one woman's grave, and I looked at her picture, and I remember just looking at her photo, and I looked up at my parents, and I said, wait, she's related to us. And I had absolutely no way of knowing this. I had never seen a photo of her before. I don't even think my parents had mentioned her, because, I mean, we had so many family members over there, especially, you know, ones that died before I was born. So they weren't really, like, parts of our lives. You know, they're over in another country. But I just remember the look of shock on my parents' face when they said, yes, that's, you know, your mom's great aunt or something like that. I don't know what made me stop and look at that grave. It was almost like she was there and kind of reaching out like, hey, don't forget me, I'm here too, because we had, you know, thought we had seen everybody there who we were related to, you know. So I just thought that was really cool, and especially from like a lot of the other episodes I've listened to, and like kids being really receptive to things like that, I feel like she knew, like, she could kind of tap me on the shoulder, like, hey, I'm here. So that was really cool, and I feel like I've almost had, like, a nice little connection with her, even though I never got to meet her whenever she was alive. So that was just a cool thing that happened, and that's just kind of an example of, like, different things that have happened to me. I have other stories along those lines, but recently I was listening to an episode, and this is kind of on a different tangent. I was listening to an episode where someone was describing their theory behind ghosts and that they can time travel, which I thought was pretty cool, that they're like time travelers, and it made me think of a theory that I came up with. So just to preface, I studied science in college. I studied chemistry, so I'm like really interested in chemistry and physics and, you know, as much as I believe in the paranormal very naturally, I'm also really scientific and analytical, like, in how I think about stuff. So anyway, I've read up a lot about quantum theory, and a lot of it's incredibly complicated, and, you know, the whole concept of multiple dimensions and everything. But I arrived at this theory about ghosts existing that sort of explains a lot. So one day I was commuting back and forth from school, and I was sitting on the bus, and as I was looking out the bus window, I could sort of see, like, a reflection of the street, and there was a woman walking down the street on the other side that I could see reflected in the bus window, and I could see her walking, and I thought in my mind, like, oh, she looks like a ghost, you know, she's transparent, because it was the reflection, not through the bus window, but from the other side. And then it dawned on me, it was like, because of the transparency and everything, what if ghosts are like reflections of another dimension? You know, scientists are pretty sure that other dimensions exist. Energy transfers can happen. So all of the things that like we know about ghosts and energy and how they come and go and where they are, you know, I thought this could explain a lot. Like, if they exist in a different dimension, like on a different plane, but every so often, like, they come to the surface, and that's why, like, certain people are way more sensitive than other people, because maybe they're more in tune with those, like, different dimensions. I don't know. It's crazy, it's wild, but it's a theory. So anyway, I just thought I'd share. That definitely helped me think about things differently a little bit, especially when we think of, like, you know, where do you go when you die? Is it a place? But, you know, what if our souls can time travel or jump dimensions? I think that would be pretty cool. I would want to be a dimension hopping ghost one day. So anyway, I know I kind of jumped around from a lot of different topics, but I just thought I'd share. I'm sure I'll be calling back. I have a couple more, like, little stories of different premonitions and things that I've had. So anyway, just wanted to thank you guys for a great show. Like I said, I've been listening for a while. I think my Christmas present to myself is going to be an EPP membership, so that's exciting. anyway, just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm happy to see that, you know, a lot of people listen and call in and support the show. I think that's really cool, and I love listening to people's stories. Thanks.
I think she's answered all of our questions now about ghosts. We can end this thing.
I think she's on to something.
It's interesting.
My only thought is, excuse me, is that maybe that theory applies more to ghosts that don't seem to interact, that are still doing their own thing.
Sure.
You know, where we talk about they're still...
like a conscious entity, right?
They're still operating on the parameters of when they were around.
Sure, okay.
But the ones that you have interaction with that know what's going on, you know, that come back to tell you, hey, wake up or you're going to die in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. I wonder how that fits into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost like a whole different, and again, it's like kind of the ghost family tree.
It is.
Like, maybe that her theory does apply, but maybe not to everything, mm-hmm. but to certain things that are just kind of there and not, you know, conscious in their own realm, but not necessarily seeing us on our side.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, can we be ghosts then to them? Or are we just seeing different dimensions of time and space being played out, and sometimes people happen to see us as well and they think we're ghosts?
I have no idea, but I think anything's possible at this point. We've done the show long enough to say anything's possible.
It really is.
Yeah.
So thank you for the theories and the thought process. It was interesting to hear that. I thought that was an interesting one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, guys. My name is Brandy. I am calling from Austin area in Texas. I just discovered your podcast actually last night. I worked the graveyard shift. And you guys helped me pass the time last night, and I have a feeling you will be helping me pass the time for quite a while. Felt inclined to call and kind of give my story. Ever since I was a kid, I lived in this particular house, and I would experience things every once in a while. But I always kind of just wrote it off as me imagining it, whatnot. Time came later in life where I had an experience. I was older, and it totally confirmed everything that I ever wondered about as a kid. I was doing laundry in my boyfriend's house, and the way the structure was set up, the condo, it was like a 4-level condo. I was up on the very top level doing laundry in a closet. Doors opened out, so there was no way anything could pass between me and the banister when the doors were open, because it only left maybe a 4-inch gap at the most. So I'm doing laundry, and all of a sudden I feel someone walk up behind me, and I can feel it, like, pressed up against me. And I hear, in my hair and on my ear, I could hear kind of like a sigh/groan type noise, and I felt it down my neck, and then it just passed behind me like nothing. It happened, it felt real, to the point where I turned around to check and see if any way possible something could have passed behind me, but it was physically impossible for anything, even the cat that they had, to pass behind me and cause that response. There's other stuff that's happened. I but obviously I can call back another time and tell you guys about that. Apparently I'm the only one that's ever experienced anything in that house, so I'm not sure why that would happen to just me in particular, but I guess I'll never know. Just thought I'd share, and I appreciate your guys' podcast. It's great. Makes me feel better that there's other people out there that experience things, so they kind of, you know, I don't feel completely crazy. So thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Maybe I'll talk to you soon.
Maybe the ghost targeted you because it knew you were the only one that was going to be able to receive its message of being completely inappropriate creeper ghost.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think they, sometimes that's an interesting thing with them, that they seem to know more about us than we know about them. Mm-hmm. And they seem to know more about us than just the average person walking into a room either, which sometimes we talk about, well, maybe they still have the same abilities that they had as, you know, living people, but it's almost like they have a little extra.
Yeah.
Sometimes as far as being able to know someone beyond just physically looking at them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can sense things about people sometimes, and sometimes you can be right, sometimes you can be wrong, but they seem to have a little extra sensory thing going on there.
I think what disturbs me the most about her whole call is the thought of people that think they might get away with that when they're alive, they're going to definitely try it when they're dead.
Yeah.
And I hate that. Just like, because you can't do a thing about it.
There's nothing you can do.
No.
About the ghost that does that.
No.
It's a world we live in.
I know. I'm being very careful in what I'm saying. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
You're on the air. Hello. So I have a couple creepy stories. When I was about 14, one of my mom's good friends, committed suicide, unfortunately. Life was getting really hard for her. My mom and I lived in an apartment community that didn't allow animals. But her friend that committed suicide had like three cats. And the day after she committed suicide, I was sick with a sore throat, and I was watching TV in my living room, and I look over and I see a black cat jump down from the stairs that lead up to the second floor. And like a week after she had passed away, she gave us some of her belongings, which one of them was a really beautiful painting that was, was her favorite thing. And my mom put it above her bed and also had like tiny little vases underneath it on the headboard. And she was having a weird dream, apparently, that the picture was hovering over her, and it was. It crashed down on her face, and it's not a light painting. It's about maybe 10, 15 pounds. And it seems like, okay, maybe the nails weren't secured or anything like that, but it didn't knock down any of the vases. And where they were, you would have to physically lift the painting off of the wall to avoid hitting the little vases down there. It was super creepy. And then last month, my grandmother passed away, and my mom and I were sitting outside, and we saw a couple baby bunnies, and I just said aloud, "Grandma, can you make a baby bunny come closer to me?" And within like 5 minutes, there's a little tiny baby bunny just right next to my feet. And that was weird, but a good weird. Thank you so much.
I'm going to be horrible. Everyone's used to me being horrible.
Okay.
I'm happy that this story went the direction it did, because at the beginning, I didn't know where this was going to go, because we had two concepts that were brought up. Suicide and someone having a lot of cats in the house. And had the suicide not been discovered, relatively...
Anyway, so relevant things.
You know where I'm going, right?
The fact that the picture seemed to lift up over those vases,
yeah,
to fall,
mm-hmm,
that's just... When things defy physics, that's when you're like, something's going on.
Sure.
You can't possibly have it fall and not knock those vases, then it didn't fall. Mm-hmm. It was dropped.
Yeah.
And we can avoid future conversations about cats eating people if we just all as a collective audience don't give Tony that ammo. Because he will go there every time.
We can avoid the conversation of cats eating people.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to dream about tonight, everybody. Sweet dreams. It's a thing.
I know. We don't need to think about that.
Okay. Okay. I just thought, I was afraid that that's where it was going. It was going to be like, and we, because even when she said, and then I saw the cat, I'm like, oh God. I mean, the cats, you know, maybe one of them died or something because they weren't getting fed. And that came to tell them to go check on the friend.
That's not
and
how the choose your own horror story.
Tony's choose your own adventure horror story.
That's not how it went.
Thank God.
Nobody else thought that.
I don't think I'm alone in this.
Nobody else thought that.
And I wasn't trying to like be shocking, but that's where my mind was going. I thought it was going to be like, one of the cats passed because they weren't being taken care of because she had passed and no one knew about it. And then we saw one of her cats and I was, you know, we thought, like, well, why is her cat here?
This poor listener, you're really going to scar her so the we way went to you're go check on her. About this.
I'm just, this is where I thought it was going. I'm happy it didn't because that's really the path.
But you took it there anyway. That's the thing.
Well, that's where I thought it and like, oh God, thank goodness it didn't go there. So
the rest of us have a filter.
It's going to be another story someday where that happens. And it's, have we had anything like that?
Nope. We
some thousand stories. No. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Why no would idea. I feed you and say, yeah, we've had a story about somebody that got his nose eaten off by a cat.
Now, I didn't say that. That's horrible. I can't believe you'd say that.
Okay. I think that's the end of the show for the day.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you have a story, send it in to us at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. You can support it right through the website there. $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus episodes or through Patreon. The link is right there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.